welcome to the Motor City Sports Rundown. We have a packed show for you today, heavily focused on a Detroit Pistons team that is absolutely surging in the postseason.
Surging might be an understatement. They have completely dictated the terms of engagement in the Eastern Conference semifinals, jumping out to a commanding 2-0 series lead against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And the way they are doing it is generating a lot of conversation. It is a highly physical, unapologetic brand of defensive basketball that is clearly getting under Cleveland's skin.
We're going to dive deep into that defensive philosophy today, including some very pointed comments from head coach J.B. Bickerstaff about fatiguing their opponents. It is a fascinating tactical approach.
After we break down the hardwood, we will pivot over to the gridiron. The Detroit Lions are facing some significant questions on the defensive side of the ball as they look toward the 2026 season.
Specifically, we need to evaluate Aleem McNeil's massive contract extension in light of his recent struggles and discuss the open competition at the Will linebacker position. There is a rookie who might just steal that starting job, so let's get right into it.
Let's start with the Pistons, who are currently holding a 2-0 series lead over the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference semifinals. A piece in the Detroit Free Press really captures the defining dynamic of this matchup so far. It is not just that the Pistons are winning, it is exactly how they are winning.
They are winning with an incredibly aggressive, physical defensive identity. Opposing players and coaches have complained all season about the Pistons being too handsy, and that frustration has absolutely boiled over in the Cleveland locker room during this series.
And Pistons head coach G.B. Bickerstaff is making absolutely no apologies for it. He was quoted recently laying out the strategy plainly. He said, "Our objective is to fatigue you as much as we possibly can and make you have to play through as much legal contact as you can."
That phrase, legal contact, is doing a lot of heavy lifting there, and it is exactly what has the Cavaliers so upset. The Pistons are essentially adopting a philosophy that we have seen compared to the Oklahoma City Thunder's controversial foul-heavy style. They are daring the officials to blow the whistle on every single possession. It is a brilliant, albeit polarizing, strategy. Human nature dictates that referees are simply not going to call a foul every time down the floor. If you establish from the opening tip that you are going to bump cutters, hand check on the perimeter, and contest every screen physically, the baseline for what constitutes a foul shifts in your favor. Exactly. And when you look at the psychological toll it takes on a team like Cleveland, it is immense. The Cavaliers just came off a grueling first-round series against the Toronto Raptors. Now they are facing a Detroit team that is intent on making them work for every inch of hardwood. By the fourth quarter, you can see the fatigue setting in on the Cavaliers' jump shooters. The contrast in mentalities is striking. You have the Cavaliers actively airing their grievances about the officiating, essentially looking to the referees for relief. Meanwhile, the Pistons are leaning into this gritty, villainous reputation. They are entirely comfortable being the bad guys if it means they advance. The question, though, is whether this style is sustainable as the series shifts venue. When you play this aggressively on your home floor, you tend to get the benefit of the doubt. But going on the road in front of a hostile crowd, the whistle often tightens up. Can the Pistons maintain this level of physicality without getting into severe foul trouble? That is the defining question for Game 3. If the referees decide to send a message early and start calling those marginal hand checks, Bickerstaff is going to have to adjust his rotation quickly to protect his key defenders. But until the officials prove they are going to call it differently, Detroit has no reason to back off.
And frankly, the burden of adjustment is entirely on Cleveland right now. Complaining about the referees in the post-game press conference does not put points on the board. The Cavaliers have to find a way to run their half-court offense effectively through the contact, or they are going to find themselves eliminated very quickly. It really feels like a throwback to an older era of Eastern Conference playoff basketball. The Pistons have embraced the grind, and right now, they are simply out-toughing their opponent. We will see if Cleveland can summon a physical response, or if they continue to let the officiating dictate their focus.
Shifting gears to the Detroit Lions, the Detroit Football Network recently published a mailbag answering some pressing fan questions, and two defensive situations really stand out. First, we have to talk about defensive tackle Aleem McNeil, who is entering the 2026 season under immense pressure. The pressure is entirely tied to the contract. McNeil signed a massive 4-year, $97 million extension back in 2024, which ties him to the franchise through the 2028 season. When you commit that kind of money to an interior defensive lineman, you expect elite, game-wrecking production. And they simply did not get that in 2025. McNeil really struggled last season. He recorded only one single sack and earned a very concerning 52.1 overall grade from Pro Football Focus. For a player making over $20 million a year, that kind of statistical output is a glaring issue. It is, but there is crucial context here. McNeil suffered a torn ACL in December of 2024. Coming back from a major knee reconstruction is difficult for any player, but for a defensive tackle who relies entirely on his lower body anchor and explosion off the snap, it is particularly debilitating. Head coach Dan Campbell has been very vocal in defending McNeil. He has publicly stated that the difficulty of the injury rehabilitation heavily impacted McNeil's 2025 performance, and Campbell is fully expecting a return to form this year. I think Campbell's optimism is medically justified. The general consensus is that it takes a full calendar year after returning to the field for an athlete to truly trust the reconstructed knee and regain their peak power. Last season, McNeil was surviving out there. This season, he needs to thrive. If he doesn't bounce back, that contract becomes a severe liability for the front office. But McNeil isn't the only question mark on the defense. The mailbag also highlighted the linebacker room, specifically the battle to replace Alex Anzalone. Anzalone vacating the Will linebacker role leaves a massive leadership and production void in the middle of Aaron Glenn's defense. And the player everyone is watching right now is Jimmy Wolder, the rookie out of the 2026 draft. Wolder was selected in the fourth round, number 118 overall. Typically, a fourth-round pick is viewed as a depth piece or a special teams contributor in year one, but there is a genuine belief that Wolder has a path to the starting lineup. The path exists because the competition is entirely open. He is going up against established depth players like Malcolm Rodriguez. Rodriguez is a fan favorite and a solid rotational piece, but he may not have the ideal length and coverage ceiling that the coaching staff wants from an every-down Will linebacker. Wolder brings a different physical profile to the position. If he can mentally process the defensive scheme quickly during training camp, the physical tools are there for him to overtake the veterans on the depth chart. It is rare for a day three rookie to start week one, but the Lions' current roster construction makes it a very real possibility.
It is going to be one of the most compelling position battles to watch in Allen Park. The Lions need both of these situations to break their way. They need McNeil to justify his contract and anchor the defensive line, and they need Wolder, or someone else, to step up and stabilize the second level.
All right, before we wrap up today's episode, let's hit a couple more quick updates from the playoff series between the Pistons and the Cavaliers.
Sounds good. There are a few specific performances and scheduling notes we need to get to.
Looking ahead to Game 3, the series shifts back to Cleveland this Saturday, May 9th at 3 p.m. Eastern at Rocket Arena. The Cavaliers are desperate, but while Donovan Mitchell is doing his part, dropping 31 points in Game 2, he is not getting the help he needs.
The major storyline there is James Harden. Cleveland acquired him at the trade deadline for exactly this type of moment, but he is facing massive criticism for his poor shooting efficiency and high turnover rate in the first two games. If Harden doesn't step up in Game 3, the series is effectively over.
And just to recap the offensive side of that Game 2 victory for Detroit, they took down the Cavs 107-97, largely fueled by another brilliant performance from Cade Cunningham.
Cunningham was masterful, finishing with 25 points and 10 assists, dissecting the Cleveland defense all night. Combine that with a crucial 21 points from Tobias Harris, and the Pistons' offense is executing just as effectively as their defense is frustrating the opposition.
That is going to do it for today's Motor City Sports Rundown. A huge weekend ahead for the Pistons as they look to take a stranglehold on this second round series. We will be back next week to break down everything that happens in Game 3 and Game 4, and we will continue to monitor the ongoing positional battles developing for the Lions.
Thank you for tuning in, Detroit. Enjoy the playoff basketball, have a fantastic weekend, and we will talk to you soon.